Shus, Kalashai Tila, the month tonight's Eidei Beis Medrash welcomes everyone to tonight's shiur. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by Zeicha Nishmas, Chachove, Moshe Mordechai Ben Tzvi, and Reb Nissen Ben Reb Shmuel. By now, all the people that have been here before might have heard me already say, stress, the night Seder. We encourage everyone to attend. We try to offer you whatever you'd like, as many times a week, shiurim, chaburis. Please come here or go learn somewhere. Again, we offer to everyone. Sunday morning, for those of you that don't know yet, we have a halacha shiur and halacha chabura, Business Halacha Institute. The Dayan from Lakewood comes in every week to give a shiur, halacha lamaisa. It's unbelievable for the people that come, a tremendous chizuk. We encourage everyone to at least come try it out once. Hopefully you'll continue to come after that. Tonight we have the tremendous chus to have with us Rav Oren Reich Shlita, Rosh Hashiva of Woodlake Village, to give us Dibbe Yisarius for chizuk. Rosh Hashiva.
We have a basic. One of the advantages of speaking in a place infrequently is you don't have to be afraid of what kind of feeling people have when you speak. If they don't like, they won't invite you again. And one of the more painful topics of our times is one of the great simonim of Ikvus de Mashiach, which has been realized by all of us to some extent, unfortunately, the Yoke Yamir, the economical crisis that has hit us, has hit the Moistus particularly, but has hit everybody, Yechidim, Tziburim, and Chazal tell us this is a precursor of the Ikvus de Mashiach. This is connected with the last lap of the Yemes HaGolus, a time when we're forced to recognize that Ein Lonu Leishoin El Alavinu Shebashamayim. And maybe we could see somewhat of a deeper significance, and learn something from it, something into it, and something from it. Dorash Rova, the Gemara brings, Shir HaShirim is the Shiras Ava, the love song between Hashem Yisborach and Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael pours out the heart of the true Jewish heart, overfilled with love for Hashem Yisborach. And Hashem Yisborach responds with words of Ava, exclamations of love for Klal Yisrael. And anyone who hasn't taken the opportunity to learn Shir HaShirim with Rashi should consider themselves deprived and should make sure to take care of that deficiency as soon as possible. Every word of Rashi is a gem of Avas Hashem, Ava B'ta'anugim. Ma'ayofu pa'amayich bana'olim, the Rebbeinu Shalom speaking in the Moshel, the parable, which is the linguistic mode of Shir HaShirim. Ma'ayofu pa'amayich bana'olim, how beautiful are your legs and shoes, bas nodiv. Dorash Rova, ma'idich siv, ma'ayofu pa'amayich bana'olim, bas nodiv. Ma'ayofu pa'ameim shal Yisroel b'shol sha'olim l'regel. Hashem Yisborach exclaims, how beautiful, what a manifestation of the greatest virtues of Klal Yisroel. How visible were the beautiful aspects of Klal Yisrael, b'shol sha'olim l'regel. And it's interesting, Chazal, to ask in this posik, what's the significance of Bana Olim? Why talk about the shoes? Ma'yofu pa'mayich Bana Olim. In Aliyos Elio, a story is told in great detail. The Sefer is authentic. Is written shortly after the Ptira of the Gro, relatively shortly after the Ptira of the Vilna Goyen. And they write there about a town called Meretz, one of the small towns that the Goyen Zechen Levrocha went through in his Shneis HaGolis, in his years of self-imposed exile. And one of the towns he went through was Meretz, And it seems the people in Meretz knew the godless Agro. He was already somewhat well known at that time. And it says there in Aliyas Aliyos, Kenim Shabbaisadir Omru, people who remembered this story, this is still when the Goyim was relatively young, recounted how when he came to Meretz, Vatehim Kolair, it was an unprecedented occasion. They knew it was a one-time story, it's never going to happen again. The Vilna Goyim coming to Meretz, he stayed on the second floor of a building. And of course, the Goyin, as we knew, as we know, the children write in the Hakdamah to Shulchan Aruch, this is Eidus Ne'emona, that the Goyin slept 2 hours a day, three periods of a half hour during the night. And while he was sleeping, his children say, we used to see his lips, Merachshin B'divri Teira Todir. And then for a half hour during the day, he also rested. For 2 hours, he rested during the day. And the Goyin was in Meretz, and of course, he continued his daily regimen of learning. And totally oblivious to the world around him. But everybody in Meretz wanted an opportunity to be able to have the schia, the merit, the privilege of seeing the Pnei HaGro. And conspicuously different than our present time, no one put their arm around the Gro and asked their friend to take a snapshot. No one had the audacity to consider themselves worthy of going over to the Goyin and talking about their own godless. The Goyin wasn't a person you went over to Shmuz to. Everybody only wanted the opportunity to have the merit, the schus, to be able to see the Pnei HaGro Merochik. More than that, no one expected. And the whole night, they write there about this beautiful sight. They put up a large ladder that went from the ground up to the window of where the Goyin was learning. And the whole night, Anoshim, Noshim and Taf, took the opportunity to go up for a few seconds to have the schus to see the Pnei HaGro ke Pnei Malach Hashem Tzvokis. Ashrei Ayin Ros Azais, Ashrei Oizen Shom Azais. And they write there that more than the godless of the schus of seeing the Vilna Goyin, what made an impression about everybody, well, on everybody who said the story later was, they said, always in that town, it was a noisy town when everybody would get together for whatever the occasion would be, whether it would be a religious occasion, a secular occasion, there was always a hustle and a bustle. But they said the awe of the Gro, who wasn't even aware of their watching him, the awe of the Gro, hitil demia kol ha'olam, there was a quiet, there was an awe, there was a reverence for the Gro that was felt throughout the crowd. People talked in hushed tones. There was a seder and a srora, a dignity and an aristocratic bearing to everybody in the town that was never seen before or after. That's the edus of the Rei Pnei HaGro. Being in the, just in the proximity of somebody who is so great as the Vilna Goyin, Heptuf, elevates everybody to a level of ruchnius, brings out latent kliches ruchnius he wasn't even aware of. Can we imagine what it was like? Alachas kama v'kama, when Yidden got together to go to the Mikdash, to be bekabel pnei Ashkina, to be bekabel pnei Ashkina beregel, Yidden coming together, there was no small talk, there was no noisy discussions. Everybody was making chadri levovai, as they were preparing, as they were aware, as those who didn't go said farewell to them. The feeling, the reverence, the awe, the recognition of the awesome privilege and the responsibility of going to the Bais HaMikdash, liris v'leirois, elevated Klal Yisrael to a tremendous madrega. Ma'yofu pa'amayich bana'olim. How beautiful were the feet, with the direction, the hachonah, the preparation of Klal Yisrael, Bana Olim, when they hadn't yet taken off the shoes, when they weren't yet standing in the Azora, when they were merely on the way to the Mikdash, Ma Yofu Pa'amayich Bana Olim, the Ribbeinu Shleilim Kebiyochul, Chaptis Pailas, the Ribbeinu Shleilim is impressed by the beauty of Klal Yisrael that was Nizgala, that was revealed every every few days before a regel, when Klal Yisrael would get ready to be oile regel. Ma'yofu pa'mayich bana olim, bas nodiv, bitei shel Avraham Avinu shenikra nodiv, shenema nedivei amim ne'esofu amale ke Avraham. Klal Yisrael, it's a little bit of a puzzling posik. Bas nodiv, Klal Yisrael is entitled over here, the daughter of Avraham Avinu, but instead of saying bitei shel Avraham, it says bitei shel nodiv, the generous one. Avraham Avinu is the generous one. Shenema nedivei amim ne'esofu amale ke Avraham. Why is the Gemara talking about Avraham? Why is the Gemara talking about generosity? Why is the posik of Nedivei Amim Nesofu brought into this posik of Mayofa Pamayich Bana Olim? I believe the Gemara is revealing the secrets of the change in atmosphere that overcame every person as he left his hometown, as he left the hustle and bustle of the mundane and the mediocre, and he recognized that he was now entering a sacred and sublime minute in his life. He was going liris pnei Hashchina. The mode, the approach to life changed completely. Mikdash, Sovev la Mikdash, expected and demanded of every Yid a complete change of perspective and approach to life. There are two approaches to life, and we oscillate between one and the other. There's the approach of the taker, the approach of the person who views everything as an opportunity to take for himself, and there's the approach of the nodiv, the generous one, the one who gives, the one who views every person and every place as an opportunity to be a giver. Avraham Avinu is the quintessential nodiv. He's the giver. He's the most selfless person that we can use as an example for Nidvas Halev. Avraham Avinu, the ultimate Baal Chesed. And more than he gave food and drink generously, with a zrizus which we can't even begin to fathom, more than that, he gave of himself after 37 years of relentless introspection of the highest level and coming to the absolute conclusion, there's one Ribbono Shel Olam. He didn't contemptuously say, you small-minded people won't understand. My deep intellectual thoughts can't be shared with petty people. No, he said, I can't hold this back. I can't keep it for myself. I want everyone to share in this truth. And he was Moisin Nefesh for the rest of his life to impart the truth of the Ribbono Shel Olam to every person. Avraham Avinu is the ultimate nodiv. Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu, Amale Ke Avraham. Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu, this is the people who become Gerim, the Gemara says, are considered Nedivei Amim. The sacrifice that it entails for a person to give away everything, to become part of the Jewish nation. Am Elekei Avraham, Elekei Avraham v'lo Elekei Yitzchak v'Yankiv, Ela Elekei Avraham sh'hayatchila l'geirim. Avraham Avinu is the model for all of us, nedivus, giving away of oneself. And every ger views as Avraham Avinu as his model of inspiration. Ma'yofu pa'mayich b'na'olim bas nodiv. Klal Yisrael have within them the powers, the latent kechas ruchnis of Avraham Avinu. We have within us the capability of being a nodiv. And when we leave our mundane life and we join the shiora, the caravan, going to the mikdash, and we want to be part of liris es pnei Hashem, one of the most stark differences from the life in mikdash and the life in the rest of the world is we have to abandon the approach to life of egoism, of selfishness, of caring about ourselves and become part of the bas nodiv. Ma'yofu pa'mayich b'na'olim. How beautiful was the capability of Klal Yisrael on the way to the Mikdash to recognize their latent koyach to become a bas nodiv. Only Klal Yisrael is capable of that. And this theme of being a taker or a giver is something that can be found so many different places in Chumash. And I'd like to take one parasha, which I found very inspiring, and I hope you will also. The parasha of Kerich. If someone can help me with this, I'd appreciate it. help again. He's sitting right here. The Parsha of Korach starts with a puzzling word. Vayikach, Korach. Korach took, but it doesn't say what he took. Chazal say, Lokach mekachro la'atzmoy, Lokach bidvorim. He had a smooth tongue, he had a capability of persuasion. A lot of different pshatim in the pasuk. Rashi asks a question in Parshas Korach, an interesting question. Korach shepikeach hoya, ma ro lishtus zu. Rashi makes an inference which he doesn't say, doesn't explain clearly, but we can rely on Rashi. Some people are very bright and some people are not so bright. If we look at Korach and we look at his ultimate, very quick, rapid deterioration, we would say he probably wasn't a bright person, he must have made a disastrous mistake. Rashi says no. Korach pikechaya, he was a very brilliant and wise person. Where Rashi knew that from is a different subject, but we'll assume that if Rashi says so, we can accept it, that that's the way it is. Korach was a bright person. What occurred to him? What got into his mind to do something so silly? Now, there's nothing silly about wanting kohuna gedola. His ambition is very understandable. Right or wrong, it's not a shtus. If a person would wants great wealth, if a person wants kavod ha'meduma, that may be a shtus, although a person may not realize it. What Korach was looking for was the highest level of srora, the highest level of chashivas. He wanted to be in the Kodesh Kedoshim. It's hardly a shtus. When Rashi says ma'arol ishtuzu, it's not talking about the actual ambition. A person has to gauge his enemies. There are people you take on when you're a child, when you're a young man. You want to fight everybody. You're an idealist. You're going to set the world straight. You get older, and your idealism becomes tempered with maturity. And after a while, you realize you can't change City Hall. You can't change everything. It's absolute folly for Korach to believe that he could overtopple, that Rabbeinu Shem would allow him to topple Moshe Rabbeinu. You start off with someone of your own size. Make a move somewhere in a less ambitious direction than fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi says, what occurred to Korach that he actually thought he could be successful? It's a terrible lack of judgment. Terrible mistake. And when you see a wealthy businessman who's always shrewd and always on target and he makes a mistake, you have to ask yourself a question. There are people always, pundits, who I want to know why this politician who's always on target made this mistake. He made an election mistake. If he's a fool, it's no question. When he's on target, it's a question. How did he think of it? But if he's a wise man, if he's a pikach, marol ishtuzu. Rashi says it's a question that has to be asked. What occurred to Korach to think of such a shtus? And I want to share with you a thought. It's not mine. It's based on a very interesting, there's a small sefer, you may have seen it, Tevas Goyma. It's relatively unknown. The sefer has two chashivas and two prominences. Number one, it's written by the Prima Godim. That requires no further elaboration. Number two, it was zeicha to many hagoyis of Reb Kivega. It seems Reb Kivega went through this sefer on Chumash Metchilavat Sefer. Most of it is pilpul. But here and there, he adds a musadika thought on the Pasha. And Pasha's Korach is one of them. And he says something, it may have a source in previous Kadmonim, but it's enough that the Prima Godim says it. Let me be Maktim. Preface the Prima Godim with something else. The Bnei Korach, we know, the Pasuk says in Pinchas, Ubnei Korach lo meisu. The Bnei Korach saved themselves at the very last moment, and as we know, they have a mokim bepiskos shel Gehenim, they're a hairbreadth away from Gehenim, because in reality they were a hairbreadth away from being part of the most disastrous plot in history, Adas Korach, and they saved themselves at the last moment to show us for all generations that as far involved as you are, if it's not yet been done, you can always pull out the last moment. And the Gemara says in Baba Basra that there were Amiroim who managed to hear what these Bnei Korach say. Once a month, they make a declaration, Moshe emes v'seirose emes v'heim v'doim over onu banoim. Moshe is truthful, his Torah is truthful, and they, meaning us, the Adas Kairach Abadoin Elias. Briskirov Zechayn of Rocha Shteltzach, Seirose Emes, we understand. What is Moshe Emes v'Seirose Emes? What are the two things? Briskirov says, Lefidarkei, there's Nevuas Moshe and there's Torah's Moshe. But that's the question. What's Moshe Emes v'Seirose Emes? If you look at the Ponim Yofis from the Aflo, he says something quite remarkable. Anybody who was standing there during this great and heated debate between Adas Kairach and Adas Moshe, we think, looking at the Psukim and at Chazal, had to listen to very complex ideological questions of what's right and what's wrong and who should be in charge. Cholo Eidah Kulim Kadoshim Ubaseichem Hashem. Is it truly a theocracy or is it a democracy? And which way should we run the crowd? And who should be in charge? And what are the laws of Yerusha? But there was an underlying debate, more subtle. And the Ponim Yofis says this was really the thrust of all the arguments. The Adas Kairach, very cleverly, and as we see often, unfortunately, in the world, this is the way things go. They came to cast aspersions on the character of Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, put aside all the ideology, put aside all the debate. What's really driving Moshe Rabbeinu? And these are things we don't even want to repeat, but it says in Chumash, what's really driving Moshe the Aaron? There's a trace of selfishness. They may be great people, they may be brilliant, but they're thinking for themselves. And we feel bad, we, Kairach, have caught this scheme, we've caught onto it. And we feel bad for the commoners who are being misguided. And we are people who are so selfless that we're prepared to put ourselves in danger. And we're going to fight the most powerful forces that are, Moshe V'Aaron, because we care about the common folk. And that's very appealing, and it sounds very attractive. And it's very hard to fight people who speak with such self-righteous, dripping tones of caring. Every Jew is so holy. Why are you feeling yourself? Why are you elevating yourself? I feel personally affronted. It's not for me. It's for the covet of every Yid. Later on we find Dosan Vahaviram. Amazing. The two most nefarious people in Chumash, almost, they keep cropping up whenever there's a problem, Chazal say, Dosan V'Aviram are always there. Dosan V'Aviram, whose kavona was only for themselves, this is the way they talked. Moshe, Aaron, you're only thinking about yourself. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in his great humility, Vayishlach Moshe, Likri L'Dosan V'Aviram, come, let's talk. Maybe I can make you understand. Maybe I can appease you. And they make a little press conference. They say, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu wants? He wants to make a backhand deal. He's afraid of us. He wants to give us something on the side. We're not interested in things for us. We're looking for the common folk. On our back, you're going to try and become people with srora. You're trying to achieve power. Don't worry about us. Do you know what Sheikhet does? You're trying to poison our eyes with Sheikhet? Far be it from us. We would never take a bribe. We're not interested in your backhand deals. Very hard to fight such people. And Moshe Rabbeinu answers, Al Tefen Al Mechosam. On the contrary, I'm the one who's selfless, and they're the ones who are only thinking for themselves. It's very hard at the time to know who really cares, who's really selfish and who's really selfless. Zakta Flo, Moshe Rabbeinu said telling words to Kairach and to Dosan V'Aviram. When you're debating with me, people on the side really are confused. They don't know. Boike, there'll always be a tomorrow. V'yoyda Hashem, Hashem is Baruch will allow people to know Eis HaShaloi, who thinks for himself, the Eis HaKodesh V'Hikrev Elof, who is pure, who is selfless, and he'll be the one who Hashem is Baruch will be Hikrev Elof. Looking back, we can always see which person is a genuine Adam Godel, which person is genuinely selfless, and which person was a schemer and a manipulator of other people. The Bnei Kairach, at the last moment, recognized the truth. The aspersion of Teirosei not being Emes was because Moshe is not Emes, Chas v'Chalila. They said that Moshe is not a true person. The truth is on the contrary. Moshe Emes. Moshe is truthful. His caring, his talk is completely Emes. There's not a speck of Moshe that's not absolutely Tochei Kivari. He's onav ma'oid mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama. And because Moshe Emes, Seirosei is Emes, ve'onu badoim, it's us who are casting aspersions. We are the true badoim, we are the liars, we are the people who are not Devri Emes. Zok de Prima Godim, a phenomenal machshava. He says, what created this warped way of thinking that Kairach had? Kairach was a person, a schemer. He didn't start off that way. What created it? He brings a posik in Kehelis. Ki ha oishek yehoilel chochem v'yabid es leiv matonim. It's a difficult posik. Chazal seem to learn pshat. Ha oishek means he who teases, who provokes a chochem. When Dosan Va'aviram at the end of Shmois spoke angrily to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal say, Yehoilel es chochem. It upset the equilibrium of the chochem, and they made Moshe Rabbeinu make a mistake. He said, Lo Mahariyesa, because of Dosan Va'aviram, Chazal. But the Prima Godim says something unbelievable. Oishik, he says, means quick money. He says the following. He says, when a person gets money easily and quickly, and we've seen this in life very often, it upsets his capability for true judgment. He starts erring, he starts becoming arrogant, and he starts losing his concept of right and wrong. It upsets the chochem. A person who has the potential to be a chochem can become knocked out from oishik, from quick money. Zok the Prima Godin the following. He says there are cases when a person technically has a right to something, something is being given out, and there's no conditions attached, so technically anyone can take it. But a person understands that it's not really intended for him. But he takes advantage of the technicality and he takes it. Zok de Prima Godim, that's a terrible, terrible move. A case of that, he says, is Bizas Hayam and Bizas Mitzrayim. Bizas Hayam and Bizas Mitzrayim was really intended as a Hanukkah, as we know, Chazal tell us. It was a compensation for the years that Eden had slaved so hard in Mitzrayim. Shevet Levi did not slave in Mitzrayim. Technically, they shouldn't have taken Bizas Hayam and Bizas Mitzrayim. But the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't attach any conditions. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, I leave it to your discretion. Anyone can take whatever they want. Zot the Prima Godim. We find in Chazal, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take from the Biza because he wanted to take Atzmus Yosef. And in the simple understanding, it was a choice. He could only do one. So the Prima Godim, no. He made two choices. Number one, he didn't want to touch any of the Biza. With all its Kedusha and its Netzaitis and whatever's with it, I don't want this money. It's not for me. Zot the Prima Godim, but for you it is. You suffered. You went down there. You suffered Bizyanus in Mitzrayim. You got a Nazifa from Paroi. You're different than the rest of Shevet Levi. You put in your work. Moshe Rabbeinu says, there's a trace of impropriety in this money. I don't want it. I'd rather take another mitzvah. Let me take Atzmus Yetziv. the dull mitzvah, so to speak. I'll take that one. I'm not interested in this mitzvah. Korach, he saw an opportunity to amass a huge wealth overnight. And he had those eyes and he had that brain power. Before anyone else could figure it out, he knew where the best gems were, the greatest diamonds. And overnight everyone looked around afterwards to see who made the most. Korach made the most. Korach came out in one night a multi-millionaire. Ki ha'oshek yehoilel chochem. Ha'oshek yehoilel chochem. From then on, he started saying and doing things that were not worthy of his level of chochem. As I state in Prima Godi. And the pasuk continues, v'ya'abed es leiv matona. What does it mean, ya'abed es leiv matona? The Prima Godim says everyone has two levovis, two hearts. A yetzahara, which he has from birth, which is natural to him, and a yetzahar hatov that's given to him. And maybe we could say le'inyanenu. Every person has two inclinations, a leiv of kicha, a leiv of taking, and a leiv of giving. When a person gets something so quickly, so easily, and it's such a gray shade area whether he really should be taking it, he loses his capability to be a giver and he becomes a taker. I want to share with you a story. I don't know whether it's completely appropriate for the 9 days because it is funny, but the story has within it a tremendous lesson. Rav Shach Zichron Livracha used to tell this story. I don't know where he heard it, and I may not be telling it over exactly, but a few embellishments. All the participants, Zal Meichel, in the Velozhny Yeshiva, the Velozhny Yeshiva had about 500 bochrim in it, Gedele Torah, and there was an official rule, among many other rules in Russia, that they could only have about 350 bochrim. It was some obscure law, like the Packers law in Iowa, and it was utilized every so often. Some government official would come over, he would cite this law, they would sit down with him, and they would put a few bottles of schnapps on the table and give him a gift for his services and for being so friendly to the Jews, and it would be forgotten about, and he would leave. This went on every few months. In fact, the day that Velozhny was actually closed, Rachmana Litzlan, the Tziv thought it was just the same thing over again. He didn't take it seriously till he realized that this was a different occasion. That's the background for the story. One day, the usual official died, and another official came in his place. And this official was a tough guy. And he allowed it to be known that he does not take any bribe. He's a man of scruples. He's a man, an honest man. He's not taking any bribes. Nope. Over the years of Golas, we've learned what that means. So everyone realized we have to notch up the price. And they tried to give him 1,000 rubles, 2,000 rubles, until they realized this is Zaya Bitter. It's a really serious situation. This guy's for real. He's not going to take anything, and he's going to enforce this rule. And 150 bochum, for no reason whatsoever, totally obscure law. But if it's on the books and it comes from 300 years ago, he's going to stick to it. He told Reb Chaim Brisker, this is a problem, what do we do? So he said, how much money do you have collected for this purpose? He said, we have 3,000 rubles, he won't take anything. He said, give me 1,000 rubles, I'll take care of it. You be ready with the 2,000. So they said, okay. He makes an appointment, one of the main rabbis in the yeshiva makes an appointment, he wants to see this goy. And the goy says, it's no problem, but don't even try bribing me. If you want to talk about the law, we can talk about it. And it was a very torrid, hot summer day. Reb Chaim walks in with 2 sweaters on and a huge fur coat and scarves. The goy looks at him and he bursts out laughing. He says, Rabbi, are you okay? Why are you wearing winter coats? It's a hot day. And he says, it's a secret that no one knows, but I want to share it with you. At 12 o'clock, there's going to be and a snowstorm. He says, Rabbi, you're talking lunacy. It's now the middle of July. Never in the history of Poland has there been a snowstorm in July. It's not going to happen. He says, you don't know. I have a great-grandfather, and once in a while I have a dream, and he tells me things. And he came to me last night, and he told me this great secret, that he's going to And I'm sure he's right. In fact, I'll give you a bet. Whatever you, what do you want? 1,000 rubles? And the guy says, yes, let's do 1,000. Rav Chaim says, but I'm telling you, you're going to lose your money because there's going to be a snowstorm. Are you going to be honest and pay me 1,000 rubles? He says, I'll pay you 1,000 rubles, but you've got to promise me that if there's no snowstorm, you'll pay me 1,000 rubles. Rav Chaim said, my great grandfather always comes through. I've no doubt about it. There'll be a snowstorm. I'll get my money. 12 o'clock. Of course, there's no snowstorm. That's not the story in case you're expecting it. And Rav Chaim walks in, very embarrassed, and he says to the guy, I don't know what happened to my great-grandfather, something happened this time. The guy says, a deal's a deal, Rabbi. He says, a deal's a deal. And very crestfallen, very shamedly, he takes out 100 rubles and another 100 and another 100. He gives him the whole 1,000. He says, listen, right is right, it's your money. He walks out and he meets the Askonim and he tells him, you can go in, he's yours. He made quick money. Does he really deserve $1,000 because someone made a stupid mistake? Technically, he deserved it. He's already had the taste of quick money. Now you'll go in and you'll explain to him it's a humanitarian service. He'll take the money, v'kach hava. Tremendous perception of human nature. To go from being an honest person who's proud of being honest to being a crook, that doesn't happen. It's broken down in two steps. First, a person gets quick money, and he loses his judgment, and he gets a taste of taking. And then he starts looking for other opportunities, and is vulnerable to the next step. And that was Korach. After the Bizas Hayam, and after the Bizas Mitzrayim, Korach's world viewpoint changed. Vayikach Korach. Korach saw every person, and every opportunity, and every place as something to be able to be manipulated, to take from. Let me be a taker. Let me figure out how to take. Oh, two people are doing business. One is selling a house to him. Let me jump in and make sure that Reuven can't sell to Shimon without giving me a part. What are you doing? What are you adding that you should be shalalim by this? Nothing. $100,000 is switching hands. I want a part of it, so I'm going to jump in and make a hefset for them both and thereby make a bit of money. It may be technically fair, but that's Oishik. Oishik, Yehoil Chochem, V'yabed Eslev Matona. And a lot of the quick money that people make is that borderline case of Oishik, Yehoil Chochem, V'yabed Eslev Matona. In Mikdash, there's no place for a person who's a taker. In Mikdash, the Rebbeinu Shalom demands the Lev of Klal Yisrael. Kol Nadiv Libo Yevieho. The creation of Mishkan is by people who are giving of themselves, people who are capable of sacrifice. Someone who's in the taking mode has no place in Mishkan. Ma'yofu pa'mayich bana'olim bas nodiv. To be connected with Mikdash, a person has to be bas nodiv. He has to be connected with Avraham Avinu, with being selfless, with giving, not with taking. That's what the Rebbeinu Shem demands. And Feld says a remes. In Mikdash, everyone was crowded together. But because they were mishtachvim, because there was hachno, because they weren't caring for themselves, revochim, there was space. People weren't consumed with themselves. Maybe it was a little tight. Maybe there was less room than would have been comfortable. But people weren't concerned, overly concerned with themselves. Chazal tell us the difference between Avraham Avinu and Ephraim. Avraham was a giver. Avraham was generous. Ephraim was a taker. Nivhal lohoin ra'ayin v'lo yeda kichose yevienu. Because he was a taker, he ultimately became the chose, he became a deficient person. To be part of the world of Mikdash, we have to be part of the mode of giving. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives us a zetz and a clap before Bias HaMashiach. An end to the era of quick money. An end to the era of a oishik yehoil chochem. We have the opportunity to break out of the v'yabed eslev matona and to become people who, whatever the situation may be, are capable of being selfless, giving of themselves to the fellow Yidden and giving of themselves to the Rebbeinu Shleim. May we be zeicher to the Ma'ayofu Pa'amayich Bana Olim Bas Nodif, B'Shosh Olim Yisrael L'Regel, B'Bias B'Samikdash B'Meir B'Yaminu.